direct my attention to you who are mothers here today. But in doing that, I don't want the rest of you to tune out. Instead, think about your mother, whether she's still a part of your life or whether she has passed away. There are several questions I'd like you to ponder as I begin this message today. What was or is her role in your life? Do they ring a positive note or a negative one? Probably there are some of each because no one is perfect. What lessons have you learned from life with your mother? There is no more influential or powerful role on earth than that of a mother. As significant as political, military, educational, or religious public figures may be, none can compare to the impact made by mothers. Their words are never fully forgotten. Their touches leave an indelible impression, and the memory of their presence lasts a lifetime. If you are blessed with a good mother, you will reap the benefits the rest of your life. If your mother neglected your needs, unfortunately, much of what you suffered cannot be erased. For good or ill, a mother's mark is permanent. Mothers, this is your hour. It is your distinct opportunity to soar. Talk about a challenge with your effort. In spite of what you may have heard, this role is one of the most important, dignified, most influential, and most rewarding in all of the world. I have two scriptures which will provide food for thought on this particular matter. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 24. And the second one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let us direct our attention first to Proverbs 24, and verses 3 and 4. Here's what it says. Through wisdom a house is built. By understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious riches. These two verses have to do with building, but not the type of building we think of with hammer and nails, or trowel, or with brick and mortar. This has nothing to do with matching carpets and drapes, nor new paint, or our room addition. It's not that kind of building. These verses are about establishing and firming up the home. The tools Solomon mentioned are relational in nature, which are far, far more valuable. And so I'm impressed with their beauty. Solomon is suggesting that homes are built with three primary tools. Number one, wisdom. Number two, understanding. And number three, knowledge. First, wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see with discernment, to view life as God perceives it. And there's understanding. And understanding is the skill to respond with insight. And finally, knowledge is that rare trait of learning and with perception, discovering, and growing through it all. Mothers, God can give you all three. In fact, do you know that you have a 9-month jump on the children's father? There is something about that 40-week advance you have on dads that give you a perspective, that give you an insight we men just don't have. You felt a child. You didn't have a child before the fathers ever had a chance to feel and know them. The jolt of responsibility hits us men when we see that little tiny baby for the very first time. But you moms, you felt it months before. I heard of four scholars who one day were arguing over which was the best biblical translation. One scholar liked the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. Another preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. A third scholar preferred Moffat's translation because of its quaint, penetrating use of words. After giving the issue further thought, the fourth scholar admitted that he personally preferred his mother's translation. When the other scholars chuckled, he responded, "Yes, yes, she translated it. She translated the pages of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation I ever saw," he said. There was another man who experienced a similar translation in his lifetime. This man lived in the first century. His name? Timothy. We don't hear much about Timothy's mother. We hear more about Timothy and a lot about Paul, his older friend and mentor. These two men were so close that the elder sought the younger in his last few weeks on the face of this earth. As a result of his Christian witness in a hostile world, Paul was thrust into a Roman dungeon, soon to be killed. Shortly before he was beheaded, he wrote Timothy a letter. And as he penned that letter, he began to drift back into the pools of his memory. 2 Timothy is dripping with nostalgia. You can't read it properly without trying to imagine what it must have been like to be in such a dungeon, facing your last days on earth. You see, at this time, Paul was old. His life was spent. He had finished his course. And at times like that, when you are nearing the end of life and death is imminent, you tend to draw on your memory. While thinking of their friendship, he goes back to more pleasant days with Timothy. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. "I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." You see, if mental faculties are still intact, that's what a Christian does when he's alone and life is about to come to an end. So thank God. He will review his memories. He will pray a lot. Now read verse 4. "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy." You see, I find in that statement and in those that follow five distinct contributions a mother has the opportunity to make in her home. Of course, with the Lord's help. The very first thing Paul remembered about his friend Timothy was, of all things, tears. I believe Timothy had a mother to thank for that. Friends, let's face it. Most of us as children, both boys and girls alike, learn tenderness from our mothers. Moms, don't ever lose your tenderness. If you buy into the feminist message of today, you'll be apt to become militant and rough and harsh and maybe even a little mean. Those little hands your child keeps lifting up are looking for a mother's tenderness that they'll fail to find in the past lane. Thus they will keep coming back to you time and time again. Timothy found tenderness in his home, and that is the first thing Paul remembers about him. He was man enough to shed tears, and that's not all. Paul added something else in verse 5. He says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Paul knew Timothy's heritage. He knew the men's roots. He knew about Grandma Lois and about Timothy's mother Eunice. He realized that the things which characterized his grandmother and his mother ended up characterizing Timothy as well. That's the way sincere faith often develops. I want you to note the word sincere in that verse. If I were to transliterate the Greek term here, it would read an unhypocritical faith. See, Paul is saying this, as I think of you, Timothy, I think of a man who is unhypocritical in his Christian life. You've got to turn your mind. There is no mention of a significant grandfather in his past, or even his father. Just his maternal grandmother and mother. Often that is the avenue through which sincere faith develops, though not exclusively. Fathers can do the same. Listen, a church, a Christian school, a circle of Christian friends, they can deposit facts into our heads, but they cannot translate truth into authentic living. You see, those other avenues can't make it real. Truth doesn't weave itself into a real fleshed-out life until it flows through you, mom and dad. Children gather the facts. They learn them from books. They see it in print on a page. And then they look to you, mom and dad, to see it modeled into sincere kind of faith. Believe me, we can give them the right words to say. We can convey the Christian concepts until we're blue in the face. But friends, such teaching won't fit reality until our children see it lived out in the home. One of your major contributions to the family is realism. Let that truth be known. Talk the truth. Model the truth. Reward honest seeking. Even have a little fun with it. Make sure that your children understand that asking questions is all right. Because when they get into university or college, they will then know what to expect. You see, their faith won't be apt to backfire and leave them with a massive head wound. Yes, transparent tenderness and authentic spirituality are very, very important. Model them before your family. The third distinct contribution a mother has the opportunity of making in her home is found in verses 6 and 7. Fan into flame the gift of God. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. I want to stop there. The Greek term dynamis, or power, means inherent strength. Or inner strength. It is the opposite of timidity, which in this context means insecurity and inferiority. Apparently, when Timothy reached the age of 35 or 40 and began his ministry in Ephesus, he did it with confidence. Let me suggest he probably learned that from his mom, or he could have from his dad as well. Moms, when the reality of your faith begins to flow through to your children, it is amazing how they will begin to sense security, confidence, and will eventually emulate the same. Who can ever measure the benefits of a mother's inspiration? They thought about a mother's transparent tenderness, her authentic spirituality, and her inner confidence. As you would expect, the next contribution that needs to be found in mothers is love. Good, old-fashioned, unselfish love. It's noted also in verse 7, for God gave us not the spirit of fear, but of power and love. The kind of love mentioned here has to do with seeking the highest good of the other person. It is selfless love. It's love when it comes. It's love when you are weary, Love when it means discipline. Love when it means staying at the task. Washing, fixing nails, driving those many kilometers, planning for the future, dreaming big dreams. Let me tell you, when your love really comes through when you listen, when your child hurts. But it also comes when you hear what the child doesn't say. Your love comes through when you can laugh under pressure, even though it doesn't seem to fit. There are two ways to tell your child that you love him. It is your sense of humor and your sense of insight. With regard to insight, I want to tell you this story. There's a story told of a young girl who was required to receive oxygen. She was dying. Nurses in attendance had waited on her time and time again, day after day. She was not a demanding kind of patient. She suffered quietly through the day. Finally, during one of the hurried moments in the life of a nurse, when it is time to put the patients to bed and turn off the lights, a weary yet understanding nurse, who also happened to be a mother, reached over and turned out the light for the little girl. And for a change, the girl said something. She asked softly, "What would happen, nurse, if the hospital suddenly caught on fire?" The preoccupied nurse momentarily didn't realize what was really being said, and she said, "You'll be all right, honey. We'll take care of you." And then before she reached for the door to leave, the nurse suddenly understood what the little girl was trying to say. Lovingly, the nurse went back, wrapped her arms around the frail, frightened little girl. She held her close and whispered in her ear, "This is help. There isn't a mother here who doesn't understand such a response. It is in those times you declare your love most eloquently. It is when you detect a need and spontaneously reach out and embrace and say, 'Does this help?' that it really ministers to the individual." Those are very special moments. That is wisdom at work. There are times when a child doesn't know what he needs. That's when your love provides the essential insight. God calls such a response understanding. God has often given moms a sixth sense. You know when someone is afraid yet doesn't know how to say it. When acting upon it, your unselfish love prompts you to do the right thing. When you do, you reveal God-given knowledge. You also really need to model tenderness, the likes of which our world is unlikely to find anywhere else. It's also a time for you to demonstrate sincere and hypocritical faith. It is from you a child has the opportunity to learn confidence. And all those things I just mentioned are woven together. They become a beautiful tapestry of love. Let me add one more quality mothers need to demonstrate before their children. The self-control. That's also found in verse 7. Let me read that verse to you once again. "For God gave us not the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control." Moms who get the job done are moms who set wise parameters and say, "That's it." Here, the vital element of self-control is present. It forms a needed balance to the love and the tenderness that you must demonstrate. It is so hard to be consistent. Yet love needs the balance that discipline provides. I want you to remember several things. Remember, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he eventually will learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he is apt to become shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child, however, lives with encouragement, he will learn confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. What does motherhood require in summary? Number one, transparent tenderness. Number two, authentic spirituality. Number three, inner confidence. Number four, unselfish love. And number five, self-control. It's quite a list, isn't it? Many of us who are sons and fathers, I think at times have been guilty of an attitude of presumption. It is too easy to take our moms for granted. Moms, we have given you far too little credit for the load you carry and the endless responsibilities you live with. Let us stop as I bring this message to a close. And let us consider the priceless value of a mother. Here's a list I've come up with, and I think would apply to many mothers. But I know it for sure applies to my mom, who passed away back in 1981. Think of your own mother and see which on this list applies to her. And then, after the service, tell her what you appreciate about her. That is, if she's still alive. And if she isn't alive, thank God for giving you such a mother. Here's my list. Dear Mom, as I walk through my museum of memories, I thank God for the times you spent with me, many a day and night. I thank you for your example, which was so consistent and dependable. I thank you for your support that was stimulating and challenging to me. I thank you for your counsel that was wise and quiet on many occasions. I thank you for your hospitality, your smile, and the warmth of your personality. They meant a lot to me. I thank God for your insight that was keen and honest. I thank God for the sacrifices you made for me. Numerous, but so quickly forgot. I thank God for your faith. It was solid. It was sure. I thank God for your love that was devoted and deep. Friends, there's no more influential or powerful role in the life of a child than a godly mother. For you mothers who are watching this service today on YouTube, let me encourage you. Stay at it, dear lady. Number two, if you have failed, ask God to forgive you. He will. And then thirdly, press on to fulfill the high calling that God has committed into your keeping. Never, ever doubt your value. You are needed. May the Lord richly bless you as you honor Him in your very special calling by fulfilling your God-given role. Let us bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for each mom who is listening to this service. You know their needs. You know the challenges that they face. Oh Lord, we pray that you would give them the strength they need and the wisdom they need to fulfill all of their responsibilities. And when they feel discouraged, we pray that they would just lift their eyes towards you and lean on you to find strength and help in time of need. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. See you next week. Bye.